to his coffin-like sleeper compartment. "I've rested enough," he thought, though his eyes were scratchy and his arms still ached. There was no sense in trying to go back to sleep. He would only stare at his eyelids now. Suessi pushed the narrow hatch open. He shielded his eyes from the overhead lights of the companionway as he sat up and swung his legs over the side. They splashed. Water. Except for the top meter or so up here near the ceiling, the skiff was full of water. His body looked pale in the sharp hall light. "I wonder when I'm scheduled to fade away," he thought, sliding into the water with his eyes closed. He swam over to the head and closed the door behind him. Naturally, he had to wait until the room pumped out before he could use any of the fixtures. A little later, he made his way to the control room of the tiny spacecraft. Hikahi was there with Tisht, fussing over the comm set. They argued in a fast, squeaky version of Anglic he couldn't follow. "Whoa!" he called. "If you want to keep me out, fine, but if I can help, you'd better change to 33 1/3. I'm not Tom Orley. I can't follow that jabber." The two dolphin officers lifted their heads clear of the water as Suessi took a grip on a nearby wall rail. Hikahi's eyes extended outward to refocus for above-water binocular vision.
"We aren't sure we have a problem, Hannes, but we seem to have lost contact with the ship."
"With Streaker?" Suessi's bushy eyebrows went up. "Are they under attack?" Tisht rocked her upper body left to right slightly.
"We don't think so. I was here waiting for word that they'd heard from Orley and would be moving the ship soon. I wasn't paying close attention, but heard the operator suddenly tell us to stand by, then nothing."
"When was this?"
"A few hours ago. I waited until shift change, hoping it was a technical glitch at the ship. And then I called Hikahi." "We've been tracing circuits since then," the senior officer finished.
Suessi swam over to look at the set. Of course, the thing to do was tear it apart and check it by hand, but the electronics were sealed away against the wetness. If only we were in free fall so the fins could work without all this damned water everywhere. "All right," he sighed. "With your permission, Hikahi, I'll kick you two officers and gentle femmes out of the control room and look at the unit. And don't bother the fen resting in the hold." Hikahi nodded.
"I'll send a crew to follow the monofilament and see if it's intact."
"Good thinking. And don't worry, I'm sure nothing's really the matter. It's probably just gremlins at work." Chapter 38 Charles Dart.
"I'm afraid they've only taken the damned robot down another 80 meters. That kid Toshio will only work on it for a few hours. Then he's always got to be off helping Denny and Jillian run their new clients through mazes or having them knock down bananas with poles or something. I tell you, it's frustrating. The rotten little half-wrecked probe's carrying mostly the wrong kinds of instruments for geological work. Can you imagine how bad it will be when we get it down to a decent depth?"
Holographic image of the metallurgist Brukita seemed to look past Charles Dart for a moment. Apparently the dolphin scientist was referring to his own displays. Each eye was covered with a goggle lens to correct for astigmatism when reading. He turned back to look at his chimp colleague.
"Charlie, you talk so assuredly about sending this robot deeper into Kithrop's crust, you complain that it has gone down only 500 meters. Are you cognizant that that is half a kilometer?"
Charlie scratched his fuzzy jaw.
"Yeah? So what? The excavation has got so little taper that it might easily drop down as much farther as it's already gone. It's a wonderful mineralogical lab. Already I'm finding out a lot about the subsurface zone.
Brukita sighed.
Charlie, aren't you curious as to why the cavern under Toshio's island goes down even 100 meters?
Hmm? What do you mean?
I mean that the so-called drill tree that's responsible for this excavation cannot have dug so deep merely in search of carbon and silicate nutrients. It can't have.
How would you know? Are you an ecologist?
Charlie rapped out a sharp laugh.
Honestly, Brukita, what do you base these suppositions on? Sometimes you surprise me.
Brukita waited patiently for the chimpanzee to finish laughing.
I base them on a well-informed layman's knowledge of basic laws of nature and upon Occam's razor. Think of the volume of material removed. Has it been scattered upon the waters? Has it occurred to you that there are tens of thousands of these metal mounds along this plate boundary, most with their own drill trees? And that there may have been millions of such deep excavations dug in recent geologic time?
Dart started to snigger. Then he stopped. He stared for a moment at the image of his cetacean colleague, then laughed in earnest. He pounded the desk.
Touché! All right, sir. We'll add, why these holes, to our list of questions. Unfortunately, I've been cultivating an ecologist lab mate for the last few months. I've done her innumerable favors, and it happens she's at the site of our quandary. I'll ask Denny to get to work on it right away. Rest assured, we'll know soon enough what these drill trees are up to.
Brukita didn't bother answering. He did let out a small sigh.
Now that that's settled,
Charlie went on,
let's get back to the really important stuff. Can you help persuade the captain to let me go out there in person and take a real deep probe robot with me to replace that lousy little thing Toshio salvaged?
Brukita's eyes widened. He hesitated.
The captain remains unconscious, Brukita said at last. McAnee has twice performed surgery. According to the latest reports, the outlook remains bleak.
The chimp stared for a long moment.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Charlie looked away from the holo display.
Well, then maybe Takata Jim will be willing. After all, the longboat's not being used. I'll ask Metz to talk to him. Will you help?
Brukita's eyes were sunken.
I'll study these mass spectrometer data, he answered evenly. I will call you when I have results. Now I must sign off, Charles Dart.
The image dissolved. Charlie was alone again. Brukita was awfully abrupt there, he thought. Have I offended him somehow? Charlie knew he was offensive to people. He couldn't help it. Even other chimpanzees thought him abrasive and self-centered. They said neo-chimps like him gave the race a bad rep. Well, I've tried, he thought. And when a person's tried and failed so often, when his best attempts at gallantry turn to faux pas, and he constantly finds himself forgetting other people's names, well, then maybe a guy should give up. Other people don't always win awards for kindness to me, either. Charles Dart shrugged. It didn't matter. What point was there in pursuing an ever-elusive popularity? There was always his personal world of rocks and molten cores, of magma and living planets. Still, I thought Brukita, at least, was my friend. He forced the thought aside. I've got to call Metz. He'll get me what I need. I'll show him this planet is so unique, they'll rename it after me. There are precedents. He chuckled as he tugged on his ear with one hand and punched out a code with the other. An idle thought came to him. as he waited for the computer tracer to track down Ignacio Metz. Wasn't everybody waiting to hear from Tom Worley?